listen to remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to be here. It's nice to see everybody. So the solstice is coming up on Thursday, I believe. And I've been thinking about how we sustain ourselves in practice, particularly when our lives and our world changes. So I spoke about this a little bit when we talked about the precepts, but what do we return to? What's central in our lives in an honest way, grounded, honest way? So this coming up with the longest night of the year, sometimes called the darkest night of the year, although if you're in the southern hemisphere, it's the longest day of the year. It's all a matter of perspective, right? What's light and what's dark? I was looking up, I was interested in the winter solstice, and I found out that this is Yule time, right? And it's also J-U-U-L, Jewel time. And the word jewel in Norse means wheel. Isn't that interesting? Wheel. So it's like a wheel of the year.
Huh.
And I thought it's like the turning of the wheel, turning of the Dharma wheel, turning of light and dark, turning of... It reminded me of the Sandokai. Light and dark are relative to one another. So the Sandokai is a really beautiful, powerful piece of writing, poem, written in the 8th century by Sekitoki-sen. And this one part of it, it's often chanted. We chant it a lot. Not so much here, but in other places. In light there is darkness, but don't take it as darkness. In dark there is light, but don't see it as light. Light and dark, this version says, oppose one another like the front and back foot in walking, but sometimes said are relative to one another. So oppose is interesting because when you're walking, right, like Laurie Anderson says, walking and falling. Walking and falling, you're always falling and walking. But one leg can't do it without the other one, right? You wouldn't be walking, you'd be hopping. You need the opposition. You need the pressure against to move, to actually walk. So when we say light and dark oppose one another, it's not like one's going to defeat the other. It's not an opposition like a war. It's an opposition like if you want a tripod to stand up, or they balance each other, they make it possible for something to happen. So I think it's really important that we think about light and dark this way. That we think about our lives in this way. That we think about the turnings of things. Holly and I were just talking about the fact that by last year at this time, we'd had these tremendous storms and all this rain. And this year we've had virtually nothing. You know, so what do we, how do we find our balance in that? I don't think we even know what light and dark are. We think we do, don't we? But these are just ideas based on our perspective. Often it's a perspective in which we're at war with reality. I don't like this. I want this, I don't want that. Yeah. I want it always to be sunny, but then when it's always sunny, things die. So we have to learn to stand or to sit I recommend sitting solidly and flexibly in our life as it is. Light and dark. We need to respond to our life as it is, yeah? Not like we think it ought to be. So to live like this requires what we call equanimity. This is one of the four virtues, four key basis. And equanimity doesn't mean calmness or equanimity, people think you're just putting a wet blanket on your life, you know, like everything kind of gets mushed down. Equanimity means, you know, being able to be vitally calm and present in the midst of dynamic reality. It's completely inclusive of everything. Nothing throws you. So it's not a balance that comes from eliminating the ends. You know, like just you just keep chopping off more and more until you're very still, but you're like, you know. It's not that kind of stillness or balance. It's the kind of balance that everything is there and you're solid with it. So to live in this shifting dynamic with equanimity requires a certain kind of effort as well as stability and calm. It grows from a sense of possibility. Wave after wave, light and dark, there's a sense of possibility in that. Dogen wrote a fascicle, Juki, affirmation, that teaches us something about how we maintain this stability. So in the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha says that when a being hears a single verse or a single word of the Lotus Sutra and rejoices in it, then they can assume that they have realized or are realizing Buddhahas. You will attain complete, perfect enlightenment. So all beings are included in this. If you truly hear and rejoice in the teachings, there is this what's called prediction of Buddhahood. Irrevocably, you're on the path. You can have confidence in it. So you can imagine, you know, what would it be like if the Buddha walked up to you and said, you will become a Buddha. So Dogen shifts this a little bit and in his usual way kind of upends it by naming it Juki. Ju means to give, and ki means to predict. So Juki, to give prediction, to just recognize our ability for awakening. But it also means affirmation. That which is already present, an affirmation of what is already present. And this affirmation is the most fundamental quality that we have. It's an affirmation of our most fundamental quality. Affirmation means to validate or confirm, to state or assert positively. It's recognizing something that's already present. You don't need to become something else or do something else or be something else. It's already here. So stop for a moment and think about the feeling in your body, in your heart, in your mind, if you can assume this affirmation about yourself as you are right now. Think about when light and dark happen, when waves happen, when circumstances change, about your own personal ability to respond in a generous way. The difference when you experience that sense of affirmation. Affirmation has the word firm in it, right? Rootedness. It's not wobbly or easily shaken. This is composure, or we might call the dignified activity of a Buddha. So what Dogen is doing in this fascicle, and there's many aspects to this, just like there's many aspects of the Sandokai, is to understand and to be challenged by the fact that this affirmation is happening in every moment, whether we know it or not. He says, you should know that even a speck of dust has absolute value, limitless capability. Why then cannot Jukhi be found in a speck of dust? It cannot be found in only one thing, but it is found in all things. Jukhi is practice and enlightenment. Jukhi means when we attend to our lives and respond from the teachings, enlightenment is already there. Realization is already there. You should know that even a speck of dust has absolute value. Limitless capability. So affirmation is broadened to include everything, every possible thing you can think of. It becomes the activity of Buddhas, the reciprocity, the interconnectedness of everything. Affirmation, Jukhi, is the existence and the realized nature of all being. Dogen says, affirmation is a sign. Affirmation is ambiguity. Affirmation is a face breaking into a smile. Affirmation is living and dying. Affirmation is the whole universe. In 10 directions, affirmation is the entire universe, never having been hidden. You want to hear that again? So the first one, we should know that even a speck of dust has absolute value, limitless capability. Why then cannot Jukhi be found in a speck of dust? It cannot be found in only one thing, but it is found in all things. Affirmation is a sign. Affirmation is ambiguity. Affirmation is a face breaking into a smile. Affirmation is living and dying. Affirmation is the whole universe in 10 directions. Affirmation is the entire universe, never having been hidden. This statement, nothing hidden, you find over and over again in Dogen's teachings. This is key. This is affirmation. To live in this, in a sense of equanimity, with ups and downs, with light and dark, to enter the darkness of the solstice and recognize the light with a sense of participation and engagement and joy, is facilitated when we connect with this, with Jukhi, with affirmation. I was considering this, and I thought about how important it is for us to listen to multiple voices that tell us this truth. that nothing is hidden. Multiple voices that lead us to a deep and sustaining and grounded engagement. In our complex lives, when things are painful, when there's joy, when it's complex. And I recalled a favorite poem of mine that I'd like to share with you. And I'm going to read it twice. So as you I ask you to listen like a sutra. This is a sutra by Wendell Berry Roshi. Called the sycamore. For those of you, you know the sycamore trees? There's lots of sycamore trees at Tassajara. They're quite beautiful. Around here, too. I think there's some sycamore trees right out here. Okay. So I'm going to read it twice. Listen with the ear of your heart. In the place that is my own place, whose earth I am shaped in and must bear, there is an old tree growing, a great sycamore, that is a wondrous healer of itself. Fences have been tied to it, nails driven into it, hacks and whittles cut in it. The lightning has burned it. There is no year it has flourished in that has not harmed it. There is a hollow in it that is its death, though its living brims whitely at the lip of the darkness and flows outward. Over all its scars has come the seamless white of the bark. It bears the gnarls of its history healed over. It has risen to a strange perfection in the warp and bending of its long growth. It has gathered all accidents into its purpose. It has become the intention and radiance of its dark fate. It is a fact. Sublime, mystical, and unassailable. In all the country, there is no other like it. I recognize in it a principle, an indwelling, the same as itself and greater, that I would be ruled by. I see that it stands in its place and feeds upon it and is fed upon and is native and maker. Again, the sycamore. In the place that is my own place, whose earth I am shaped in and must bear, there is an old tree growing, a great sycamore that is a wondrous healer of itself. Fences have been tied to it, nails driven into it, hacks and whittles cut in it. The lightning has burned it. There is no year it has flourished in that has not harmed it. There is a hollow in it that is its death, though its living brims whitely at the lip of the darkness and flows outward. Over all its scars has come the seamless white of the bark. It bears the gnarls of its history healed over. It has risen to a strange perfection in the warp and bending of its long growth. It has gathered all accidents into its purpose. It has become the intention and radiance of its dark fate. It is a fact, sublime, mystical, and unassailable. In all the country, there is no other like it. I recognize in it a principle, an indwelling, that the same as itself, and greater, that I would be ruled by. I see that it stands in its place, and feeds upon it, and is fed upon, and is native and maker. Beautiful, isn't it? I think when we listen to Barry Roshi, we hear something, don't we? About what it is to live, about what it is to heal. Not that we heal ourselves, but that reality comes forth. This is affirmation. This is the equanimity we grow, we cultivate in the lives that we have. Not these perfect lives that we sometimes think we need to be awake. You know that story? Oh, I shouldn't have these scars. I shouldn't, you know. I'm bent. But he's telling us, no, the truth of this tree is telling us, no. The truth of this tree is saying affirmation grows and supports life and realization is rooted in something far more subtle. And what does he say? Sublime. Than some story that we have of what that means. This is about what it means to be rooted, you know, to have equanimity, to sink our roots down into the life that we have, to be have the this white bark that comes forth. And sycamores are ancient trees, right? They don't have bark like other kinds of trees. Am I correct for those of you that know about this? Their bark is different. It splits and changes. It's like more like a skin than a bark. And they grow out, you know, if you mark them, they grow out this whiteness. This expression of life is a wondrous healer of itself. No matter what, with fences, nails, whittles, even lightning, even though its death is in it, it grows, it responds, it inspires. There's no year that it lived when it wasn't harmed. And we know this, right? Is there a year in your life where it's been... Anybody here have had it? Well, I can say that's certainly not been true for me. But what is harm? What is light? What is darkness? What is all this if it actually creates the kind of beauty of an ancient sycamore tree? Over all its scars has come the seamless white of the bark. It has risen to a strange perfection in the warp and bending of its long growth. This is, I think, what we aspire for in our lives, isn't it? This strange perfection, not our ideas of perfection, but this strange perfection that we see in other people, right? We see it in ourselves. It has gathered all accidents in its purpose. This is, we could say it's practicing Zen really well. It has gathered all accidents in its purpose. It has gathered everything, not excluding anything. All of it. All of the complexity and difficulty and beauty and all of it in its purpose. It has become the intention and radiance of its dark fate. It's become that. That's what we want to do each moment, right? The intention is in fact sublime and mystical and unassailable. There is no other like it. Just like there is no other like each one of you. There is no other like it. And he says, I recognize in it a principle and indwelling the same as itself and greater that I would be ruled by. What do we see in the beauty of this that we would be ruled by? What would we be ruled by? Hopefully not our preferences. It stands in its place and feeds upon it and is fed by it. This is this kind of rooted life that we want to express. That Dogen is seeing in us. And that we see in each other. Yeah. Would you like to hear it one more time?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. Then we'll end with that. In the place that is my own place, whose earth I am shaped in and must bear, there is an old tree growing, a great sycamore that is a wondrous healer of itself. Fences have been tied to it, nails driven into it, hacks and whittles cut in it. The lightning has burned it. There is no year it has flourished in that has not harmed it. There is a hollow in it that is its death, though its living brims whitely at the lip of the darkness and flows outwards. Over all its scars has come the seamless white of the bark. It bears the gnarls of its history. Healed over. It has risen to a strange perfection in the warp and bending of its long growth. It has gathered all accidents into its purpose. It has become the intention and radiance of its dark fate. It is a fact, sublime, mystical, and unassailable. In all the country, there is no other like it. I recognize in it a principle, an indwelling, the same as itself and greater that I would be ruled by. I see that it stands in its place and feeds upon it and is fed upon and is native and maker. Thank you.